Welcome back to another episode of The Radio Psychs, your premier podcast for insights into everything mental health. I'm Dr. Aaron Haddock.
And I'm Dr. Rhonda Yu. We're psychologists who care about people and bringing science to practice.
And we're so glad to have you join us.
Please note that the information shared in this episode is solely intended for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical or mental health advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
Today's topic is tools for managing and coping with stress. In our first episode on stress and your mental health, we delved into what stress is and how it impacts our lives and mental health. If you missed that episode, be sure to give it a listen as it sets the foundation for what we're discussing today.
That's right. This time, we're shifting gears to focus on research-based coping strategies to help us all manage stress more effectively. Let's face it, in today's fast-paced world, managing stress is a skill we all need. And whether you're dealing with daily hassles or more significant stressors, this episode will equip you with the tools you need to stay balanced and resilient.
So when it comes to dealing with stress, there are two types of tools or coping strategies we can use. First, there's emotion-focused coping, which works on managing our emotional response to the stressor. Emotion-focused coping strategies can be especially helpful when we need some immediate relief, we can't change the stressful situation, or we're preparing to use the second tool, what we call problem-focused coping.
Gotcha. Okay, so to recap, emotion-focused coping is about finding ways to calm our minds and turn down the volume on our emotional reaction, which can help us be better prepared to address the root cause of the stress with problem-focused coping.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And with problem-focused coping, you're really tackling the stressor head-on, whether it's changing your environment, setting boundaries, planning better, or finding a solution to the problem. It's about taking control where you can.
Okay, I see. So assess the situation, then pick the right tool for the job. Sometimes we need to soothe our emotions and get balanced, and other times we need to roll up our sleeves and get to work on the problem. And it's often a mix of both, isn't it?
It is. The key is to be flexible and adapt your approach based on the stressor you're facing.
But you know, Aaron, when we're really stressed or tired, it can be difficult to cope with stress using mental strategies like thinking about things we're grateful for, right? This is where leveraging the mind-body connection can be really helpful with simple physical actions that can have a profound impact on your mental state.
Let's explore that, Rhonda. How's that work?
Well, when we're stressed, our breathing tends to become shallow and rapid, which only fuels feelings of stress and anxiety. By controlling our breathing, we can directly influence our nervous system, telling our body and mind, hey, it's okay to relax now. When we use our diaphragm effectively during deep breathing, we're actually helping to regulate our heart rate and blood pressure, creating a real physical state of calm.
Yeah, so it's like you relax your body and this sends the message to your mind.
Yeah, exactly.
This reminds me of a research-based practice I've found really helpful called the physiological sigh. It's just a double inhale through your nose, followed by a long exhale, like this.
Yeah, that's a great example of somatic quieting, which is just a fancy term for techniques that use the body to dial down the stress response and calm the mind. Other examples include meditation, yoga, and my favorite, Tai Chi.
I've always wanted to learn Tai Chi.
I didn't know you'd be interested. Well, let's get together and do some Tai Chi, man.
Sounds good. I'm excited, man.
What about you, Aaron? What's your go-to when you need some immediate stress relief?
For me, I'd say it's definitely exercise, especially surfing. But it can be something as simple as a 10-minute walk or some stretching.
Nice. The research is clear that regular exercise is one of the most powerful ways to mitigate long-term stress. Another, perhaps lesser-known strategy is the simple act of connecting with others.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, spending time with loved ones, including pets, can provide emotional support and a sense of belonging, and activate neuromodulation systems in our brains that reduce the negative effects of stress and boost our overall well-being. This is because when we're socially isolated, our body responds in a way that's actually not too different from physical stress. Our brains release stress hormones like cortisol. There's a disruption in our production and regulation of neurotransmitters like serotonin and dopamine. And there's a possible dysregulation of neuropeptides, leading to feelings of sadness or depression.
Makes sense. I know that hanging out with my family or dog always puts me at ease. You know, Ronnie, when we're stressed, we often feel overwhelmed by all we have to do. So it can also be really helpful just to remember to break tasks down into smaller pieces and then remember to celebrate, or at least notice and appreciate, our small wins along the way.
Yeah, that's right on. We also have to remember to do our best to prioritize things like getting enough sleep, eating a balanced diet, and taking time for activities you enjoy, all of which tend to fall by the wayside when we're stressed.
So true. We often talk about our actions in response to stress, but our thoughts play a big role too, right? What do we do about those?
Well, when it comes to managing stressful thoughts, it helps to think about it as a two-step appraisal process. First, we assess the stressor. We ask, what's the size of this challenge? What's at stake? And how likely is it?
Yeah, so it's like taking stock of the situation.
Exactly. And then in the second step, we evaluate our resources and ability to cope.
I see. So first, understanding the stressor, and then assessing our capacity to deal with it.
Right. And it's important to be realistic and balanced in these appraisals. Quite often, we overestimate the size of the stressor and underestimate our ability to cope, which can cause our stress level to skyrocket. Tuning in to these appraisals and developing a more accurate and balanced view can lead to better stress management. Like catching yourself thinking, I can't handle this, and replacing that thought with, I've handled tough situations before, I'll get through this one.
That's good. Paying attention to our self-talk is so important. When we think, we talk to ourselves, and our minds believe what we say. Okay, Rondi, as we wrap up, why don't we share some proactive strategies for managing stress? What's key?
Well, here it's all about setting realistic goals and not overcommitting yourself, you know, like not agreeing to take on new projects or responsibilities when you're already struggling to manage what's on your plate.
I hear you. I've had to learn to ask myself, do I have the bandwidth for this right now? And Ronnie, how about in the workplace? It's a primary source of stress for many of us.
Well, in the workplace, regular breaks and setting clear boundaries are crucial. Simple changes, like not responding to emails after hours, can really help to cut down on stress.
And our environment plays an important role too, doesn't it? Creating a calm and organized space, whether at home or work, can really help ease stress and improve focus. Okay, any final thoughts as we wrap up, Ronnie?
Just a reminder that stress management is a lifelong skill. It's about building a toolkit of strategies that we refine and adapt throughout our lives as our circumstances change and we face new challenges. And remember, it's also perfectly okay to seek professional help. Stress, again, is a common experience and you don't have to go it alone.
That's a good point. And along these lines, I think it's also about not being too hard on ourselves when a familiar strategy doesn't work as well as it used to. It's not a failure. It's an opportunity to learn more about ourselves and discover new ways to manage stress.
That's right. Self-compassion is key. In fact, I think we should do an episode on that.
Me too. And remember, folks, if you all have any questions or suggestions for future topics, we're all ears.
Thank you for joining us. Take care and be well, everybody.
Take care and be well.